Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Paul Tonko, I see your friend Nancy Pelosi was in town.
Yes, she was, along with several colleagues who happen to be congresswomen who serve in that portion of Congress. And it was an interesting opportunity to ride the bus. When women succeed, America succeeds was the mantra on the bus. And we began at Seneca Falls, which you know is the site of the Women's Rights Convention way back in 1848. And to start at that corner where the Wesleyan Chapel still stands as a wonderful tribute to the vision and the valor and the courage of women who said, look, we deserve the right to vote, and we all know it took decades from that moment. But standing in that chapel, you can almost hear the speeches. You can feel that fervor, that spirit. And to hop onto the bus at that location after, and then giving a great kickoff in Seneca Falls on the agenda, the legislative agenda, ranging from paid vacation and sick leave to minimum wage and to the quality, accessible child care, and, of course, equal pay for equal work. It's a great opportunity to message out there, to tell people what we're attempting to achieve in the House of Representatives, where bills won't come to the floor, and then to travel along the thruway and come to the location here in Albany was a great opportunity, and we had an enthusiastic crowd that really greeted the message with all sorts of support and outlandish enthusiasm.
You get much FaceTime with her?
Yes. Yes.
What's that like?
I think she's a very good listener. I think she knows how to build the numbers that we need to get items done through our caucus. And she networks with everyone.
Do you
really
like her?
Well. I do.
Because
I do.
It's very interesting. I think that the Republicans have used her as a sort of, boogeyman.
Well, I think when women are in power, it's very easy for that to happen.
But colleagues love her.
I think she's, number one, she is energetic, very bright, and just very
she tough?
Driven by policy.
Is she tough?
Yes.
She's tough.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She's a strong leader. Is she? But she's got the warmth about her to engage with the public and with her colleagues and to do what is fair and just. And in this case, the women's agenda, where you're looking for equal pay for equal work, you know, when women are embracing a job that has the same responsibilities as that of a man, and where they bring the intellect and the experience to the table, they ought not receive 77 cents that their male counterpart is getting a dollar for. It's as basic as that. And, you know, these are issues that would strengthen the American economy, whether it's a single parent, female head of household, which is a growing demographic, or whether it's a male-female household or two women-led household, in any of those scenarios, when you empower the woman, the entire household is strengthened. And so the purchasing power that builds confidence in the economy, the social and economic justice that fills their purse, I mean, the best thing we can do now is provide customers for small business. And when women achieve, when they succeed, America succeeds. And so I think that's a very accurate labeling that the bus has embraced in its travels from Seneca Falls to Albany to Lowell, Mass., to Boston, Mass., to Ohio, I believe it was Columbus and Cleveland, and then into Chicago. And they'll resume that tour, I believe.
Do they stay in motels at night?
You know, I don't. Yeah, I'm assuming, yes, they did, because when I went to Seneca Falls, they were giving some great opportunity to local business again. But it's not easy. It's not a cheap thing to do. But she and members like Rosa DeLauro, Congresswoman Rosa DeLauro, are driven by connecting, letting people know we want to take our message and bring it to people, relate to people. And, you know, what I was hearing was that, hey, this is where I'm at. You are coming to where I'm at. And so we're reaching people for very sound reasons.
How come women have been so unfairly treated? I mean, historically, we know it started out badly, but this 2014, why aren't we making more progress?
You know, it makes you scratch your head, because you look at what happened at Seneca Falls And you had, you know, folks like Elizabeth Cady Stanton and Susan B. Anthony, who were very bold and very young at the time, you know, circa 30, and took on what was a very male-dominated situation, and with their boldness were able to spark the fire that took 70 years or so to build to a suffragette victory. You know, it appears as though those battles still continue, and perhaps because there's been a male domination of our political arena. Certainly it doesn't reflect nearly accurately what our general universe looks like.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, here at public radio, I have to tell you, you know, the senior people other than me at this place are all women. You wouldn't think of not treating them fairly. So somewhere the word must be out that, you know, this isn't unacceptable.
Right, right. Well, you know, I think it's great that, you know, there are men who support the effort because they see this as a universal impact. When women succeed, America, children, boys, girls, and adults, women and men all succeed. And, you know, it... sometimes it's a power control, and it ought not to be.
Let's spend a few minutes on Eric Cantor's law.
Sure.
Did you know him?
I know him from a distance.
Joe Donahue claims that he shoved him out of the way once, our guy here, and said, you know, I'm important, get out of the way. is that the guy you knew?
Well, that's the image that oftentimes is shared. But, you know, when people were, I would have to say everyone was shocked with that loss, primarily because people had seen the majority leader on the floor that day, very relaxed, very jovial, appeared to be sailing into another primary victory, and wasn't, I believe, even in the district for most of that day, if at all, and felt very confident probably with the polling, which had him 30-some points up. So it's very accurate to say that shockwaves were the impact in Washington, but in the aftermath, in the analysis, many would suggest that there was very little visibility in the district. And I pride myself on coming home every weekend and interacting however I can and working that treadmill to the nth degree and listening to what people have to say. I think it's an important part of the role as a member of the House.
Mm. Is it your sense that he was beaten by a guy named Brat? And so the question is Brat has been portrayed by some as coming around so far to the right of the libertarian thing that he makes common cause with some of the things that progressive Democrats are saying, like on corporations and corporate welfare, things like that.
Well, you know, we could say that, but then he was also asked about the minimum wage. Mm. And here's an economics professor who, in the heat of victory, said he didn't know.
Mm.
You're an economics professor, that you should have had an opinion. And so I think, you know, with the probably there's just an element of anger here, and after the loss, bitterness, and there's also a suburban district there that I think may look at things a little more in depth. And the Democrat who's involved, who's ironically a professor at the same small campus,
yes, political
college,
scientist,
may do better than folks thought.
Well, Tonko, always wonderful for you to come in and spend time with us, and we certainly appreciate it. Thanks again.
Well, it's always a pleasure to be on WAMC.